Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. A new exhibition at the Baltimore Museum of Art, From Digital to Damask, weaves together science, art, technology, and history. Fiber artist Annette Kouwenberg combines shapes and textures inspired by fossils and her native Netherlands. Kouwenberg is a professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art. She chaired the fiber department there from 1989 to 2008, and her work has been shown across the world. Annette Kouwenberg, welcome to On the Record.
Great to be here.
In 2014, you received a Smithsonian Artist Research Fellowship and worked with a scientist from the National Museum of Natural History. Tell us about that experience.
It was an honor to be chosen as an artist to work with a scientist. And working with Dr. Lynn Parenti at the Natural History Museum in Washington was a pleasure. It was in the basement in the fish department. Who doesn't want to be in the basement of the Natural History Museum? And she really gave me an idea of how science works in the sense of the methodology. So I looked at the interdependence of the skeleton and the skin, specifically in the fish. And the methodology, in its very kind of methodical way of looking, isolating images in technology on the computer and start observing them, for me was a revelation. Although artists work with nature a lot, but I felt that she gave me a way of understanding more, looking better. And not only that, but I think that one of the things she would repeat to me, which was quite wonderful, I would say, "Oh, I believe I see this." And then she would turn to me and said, "But do you have evidence for that?" So the idea of that you need to look very carefully and observe and translate and then compare, for me, was really, really an important part of understanding the way of looking at something.
I understand why a scientist looks for evidence. Is that a constraint that an artist should willingly take on?
I mean, evidence is, of course, very subjective. Evidence is measured to certain data. But, of course, as an artist, I measure it with my own data. So I measure it in the sense of how I look at the world. And I look at the world through textiles. I find textiles to be the most human substance that we have. We wear it. We are born and the first thing we feel on our body is cloth till the end, in the sense of death. So I feel like cloth is something very intimate we all understand. So I look at it as systems, as system of communication, in the sense of how it's built, how it's made. Textiles is something what is architectonically built in the sense of weaving, in a sense of making, and it becomes very human. So I look through the eyes of textiles all the time.
So tell me, if we're on the radio, obviously people at this moment don't have the visuals of your exhibition. How does that scientific experience affect the exhibit at the BMA right now?
At this point in my career, I'm really at the intersection of traditional craft and digital craft. And I think that that's really important. So how can we look at craft in the sense of weaving? To give an example of one of the four pieces that are in there, there are four woven, jacquard woven, inspired by Frans Hals's portrait of a young woman.
Frans Hals was painting in the 17th century?
17th century. I'm very influenced by him as a Dutch girl going to the museum. And when I look at that, I see that there is a system of communication in a sense, or a system of coding or data, what jacquard does.
It's a kind of mechanized weaving, correct?
It's a mechanized weaving, what we see as the first computer. The use of punch cards is the data of the weaving, and it was invented in 1805. And it's really the first beginning of the computer. So it really stores data, and that's how I translated a lot of the imagery into the weavings.
Let me make sure I'm following, because your exhibit is named From Digital to Damask. Is all damask jacquard weaving?
Yes. So jacquard weaving was invented to not only have better production of textiles, but it was invented to make complex designs possible. So brocade, damask, jacquard is all done on a jacquard loom.
So that's science. Those panels of complex designs hanging in your exhibit, that's science.
There's engineering, of course, observing and translating and using technology to observe the world around us. Plus, in the imagery, you will recognize when you have a chance to go and see the show that there are a lot of fish imagery that I studied at the Smithsonian, and they are translated into the weaving.
Portrait of a young woman. Describe that to us.
The Frans Hals portrait of a young woman is a very intriguing one for me at the BMA. I think it's a very good example of the time period, but Frans Hals has a tendency to give the women a little bit more of personality, what didn't always happen. She has a little tiny smile on her face, what invites you in, what I really enjoy. And the other thing is she has a beautiful, besides a beautiful Dutch collar, she has a beautiful damask cloth dress on. That is what I did a lot of research on, what is partly coming from European weaving centers, but partly from China. So I really wanted to look at what the imagery said. There is a beautiful griffin in it on the front of her dress. And I took that as my lead into the fish so that I could use the fish in my damask. She's very regal, but she has a personality, and that really drew me to the painting.
She's very constrained. There's this enormous collar and also lace that looks very rigid around her head, and the bodice and waist of this dress is very cinched in.
Yeah, I've always been interested in clothing as a means of understanding the world. Here you see that there is the elegance of the lace and the elegance of the cloth itself. But on the other hand, there is the constraint of the society. That's how I grew up, where the constraint is very clearly underlined in society on one hand, although everybody thinks that Holland is so... It's open, it's very open in certain things, but it is very constrained in other ways. And I recognize it immediately in her portrait.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with fiber artist Annette Kauenberg about her exhibit From Digital to Damask, which opened this week at the Baltimore Museum of Art. Some of the pieces of your exhibit, very sculptural, featuring folds like an accordion or a flat honeycomb pattern. How did the digital part of Digital to Damask come into play in creating those works?
I am a professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and I feel that I need to stay up with my profession. And I'm extremely interested in preserving tradition, but on the other hand, I'm very interested in innovation. And what better than to look at emerging technologies? So I have tried to look again through the lens of textiles, how we have used technology and how we are using technology in this time period where we're living in. And I see that the digital is really, you know, in the sense of the 3D printing, in the sense of CNC routing with a computer-generated machine, laser cutting, all is now the way of, it's another tool, but it is coming from somewhere. So I'm really interested in thinking about how the tradition moves from one source to the next and how that translates. How can I take these tools and still hold on to my tradition, but see if I can see if it migrates in or shifts in meaning? And that's the reason why I'm using those tools. But the mask is very traditional again. On the other hand, right now in the industry, it is woven on industrial jacquard looms. So there's a real connection between where we are now in this time period and tradition, and that's where I'm really interested.
I'm fascinated by the tradition part. Working with textiles seems to be one way that you've stayed close to the cultural traditions of the Netherlands. Did you grow up sewing?
Well, I'm very influenced by the weekly sewing sessions of my mother, my grandmother, and my aunts. And as a little girl, I would sit in the corner and listen to them, to the women who were my role models, and realizing later that those images of beautiful threads and pins and constructing, deconstructing, mending, were really an influence on my way of thinking. Not only that, but the women were really talking a lot. When you sit around, if it's quilting or if it's sewing, you talk of who you are, what your life is about and how you resolve problems or how you think about life. But not only that, but I found later that I recognized that I saw aspects of them in the way they made clothing. So my grandmother always had pins in her mouth because if you don't talk about it, it's not there, right? My aunt, who was really social, wanted to have that hot apple pie on the table and didn't care if there were pins or safety pins in her dresses. And she's 97 right now, and she still has those. It's not important to her. But I had an aunt who was very haute couture oriented and was really very straightforward in life and wanted her kids to be straightforward. So I really started to understand that clothing had another meaning, that the meaning shifted from the moment that you're being in touch with it when you make, and that you, your personality comes through in it. I realized that later that I was observing that. So I wasn't even that interested in their clothing itself. I was more interested in seeing them, how they would translate their personality, not in the way they were talking, partly, but partly how it reflected in their making.
So you're talking about their personality coming through in the clothing as they made it, or yep, the clothing as they wore it, or both?
Both. I think it's both really interesting. I mean, making gives meaning, I believe, and that comes from the craft world again. Making matters in that sense, although I find satisfaction in the digital too. It's a different way. It's the immaterial part. But I felt that they were not only the way they were making it, the process, but then their clothing was very much influenced by who they were and what they stood for and what kind of role they had as women in the world.
These new digitally woven jacquard panels in your exhibit, mm-hmm, what do they tell us compared to what would have been woven 400 years ago or 200 years ago?
By using my sculptures who are based on Dutch collars, I have used those images to translate into who are three-dimensional, into 2D patterns. And the digital component will make its design the way it wants to. And then you have to start manipulating in a sense of a pixel to a thread. How does the pixel translate into a thread? How is the image, what is flat, then becomes, you know, what was a three-dimensional sculpture first, but then becomes flat? How does that translate? And that, for me, is that shifting of meaning again. It's like, how do we look at one to the other that the meaning can start shifting? It's the same way that I see what my teacher would say in grad school. When a sweater is worn on the body, it's different than it's folded in the closet. The meaning is totally different. And that's what I'm looking at. It's like, so what is the difference between the 2D and the 3D? What is the difference when it becomes material, when it translates into that?
What inspired the patterns and the damask?
Those are based on my sculptures, and the sculptures are very much based on the Dutch collar. And the Dutch collar I see as a double-edged sword. It is elegant, but it is a constriction too. There is a constraint that happens when you wear it around your neck. So I really look at those two as ways of understanding my Dutch background and being in the United States. You know, I'm entwined on two continents, and I feel like I have learned to constrain myself because of our work ethic, because of Calvinism. My mother would say to me, act normal, and that's acting crazy enough. And if that doesn't keep you in check, and then coming here in a country where there was more freedom and more individualism in Holland, we very much feel that we need to do it collectively as a society. And that freedom here, so I always feel I'm in between and I use both. So on one hand, I'm allowed to have beauty take over, and on the other hand, it's a constriction.
I recognize, I mean, not that I've ever put that kind of lace collar around myself, but I saw the images and I thought, yeah, that looks very much like those old paintings I see with these incredibly rigid lace. Yeah. I presume they were starched back then to make them rigid. What's digital about them?
I used a laser cutter to cut the pieces, to score the pieces, to engrave the pieces, and then I fold them. There are origami, so they're 2D pieces first. The computer is an amazing way, and the digital is an amazing way of repeating something very evenly and a lot. I had to make hundreds of origami forms to put them into the skeleton that I make on the CNC router. So I use the tool to help me produce.
How do first-time viewers tend to react to these works?
I always hope that people, as you just said, that people immediately recognize something, that they feel that there is a connection, that they understand a little bit more where it's coming from. So there is an immediately reaction of, colors or Dutch color. And I hope that textiles gives them that other entrance of, I understand textiles, that's part of our life, we understand that. So I hope that people are a little awed by it, by its pure beauty and complexity, but on the other hand, that it is very familiar and that it is connected with their own life.
Well, thank you so much for telling us about it. Thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.
Annette Kallenberg's works are on display through February at the Baltimore Museum of Art. The exhibit is called From Digital to Damask. She'll give a talk about her work at a free event on September 10th. We'll link to details at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Quick break now on the record, and then a Stoop story.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.